Very warm welcome to Sunset Gospel Hour. Some 8 years ago, when our member was transferred to China to work for Caterpillar. Caterpillar is one of the big manufacturers of earth-moving machines. So our prayers went with him, Brother Samuel Lim, engineer with Caterpillar. Suddenly he is back, and 8.5 years have flown by. And one of the first questions I asked him is, "How are your children?" "Oh," he said, "praise the Lord, they are walking with God." I said, "Would you like to tell us how you manage in an atheistic communist country to keep the faith so that the children, after 8.5 years, continue in the faith?" So this is the testimony we shall hear tonight as we think of the Christian life, what it means in practice. So, Brother Samuel Lim, please come along.
Good evening, brother and sister in Christ. As Dr. Toh has introduced me, I'm Samuel Lim, a church member of this Calvary BP Church here. The reason why I'm standing here is to return the glory that God has given to me and my family, and this moment is to acknowledge His goodness. So before I actually share my testimony, I'd like to read from the Bible, from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded these days shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlet between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates." So, in 2003, I was posted by my company, Caterpillar, to China. And I knew that my family would be getting out of the comfort zone. What I meant by comfort zone was church service in Calvary Pandang was ever ready packaged for all of us. And all we need to do is come to attend Sunday service, be it morning worship or be it sunset gospel. But the same will not be said when you go to China in the early years. Churches was not so open for the foreigner. So with my son, 11, and my daughter, Jane, 15, joining me there, I was fully aware of the challenges that's facing them as teenagers. The choice for me to think was either the way of the Lord or the way of the world. To me, church attendance was a vital commitment for the children to know the Lord and remain faithful. So as a father, the Lord wants me to talk. The Lord also wants me to walk in His way, as the Bible's scripture that I just read. So that whenever I lie down or rises up, I have to be consistent walking the way of the Lord in my daily life. So it simply means the way of my Lord is non-negotiable. I promise my Lord that with my might is limited and my human ability is small, but I will do my best for Him. So as the Lord's leading, I gave instruction to my household as a father to follow. So the first biggest challenge facing us in this generation, to me, I call it the Twitter generation or the Twitter age. If I lose the war to internet, my children will all eventually belong to the world. There will be no human noise in the house, but only keyboard noise creeping away in the house. So is that the Lord want me as a father to see in my house? So I'm quite aware of that, and I say, the computers should only sit in the hall, not in the room, so that whatever that's done, spent on the computer will be limited to the time, and there should be no multitasking during meal time or during times in the family. So I had to do constant reminding and nagging, and about the hidden danger. I must admit that the computer, the internet has a lot of information, but at the same time, there were hidden dangers too. So my children need to be protected, especially as teenagers. The sound of prayer, number two, the sound of prayer and the family worship must be heard loud and clear every morning and every night. So no member of my family household should miss that prayer. At the same time, I recognize that I and my wife is no policeman in the house. So all we got to do is to keep a close touch with the Lord. We want the children to speak personally to the Lord whatever they need, not to us. So we make it a point that as parents, we cannot be always responsible for their success or failure. We told them that as teenagers, they must be responsible. What we as parents could offer is advice, support, and of course, finance. At the same time, as a father, I ensure that I'll be there for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. That is my promise to them. And to the children, I have the way of the Lord written clearly in their hearts, telling them that the Bible must be in the frontlet of their eyes. The Bible, whatever written, must be in the frontlet of their eye, and they should live and grow up with it. Another point I raise is that there must be a lot of communication in the family. In the house, there must be a lot of noise, be it laughter, be it argument, be it talking of a topic. There must be a lot of that. The Bible must be the first book to be read, to be consulted, to be loved. It must be read over and over again in my house. And what God said is the final. There shouldn't be any argument over what's written in the Bible. So more than eight years has passed by, and I thank God for taking of all my earthly affairs in this way, and I recognize that I'm weak, but He's strong. During the 8.5 years while we were there, the Lord has rewarded us in so many ways that I can only tell you that the showers of blessing keep raining upon us. There were just too many examples of the Lord's intervention in so many circumstances that I will just take a couple of few, like for example, my son and my daughter, they wanted to study in U.S., so the Lord blessed them with a full scholarship to go over to study their university with the prayer that they called for. And also, like, my son was even awarded the top Chinese government top youth in 2010. He was awarded one of the top 12 top youth in China. And also, throughout their studies, they were able to jump through their studies so that they could graduate early. So I do want to thank God for this time, for the extended good health, that throughout our stay in China, we were safe, we were in good health, and also we were protected from the earthquake, even though we are so near to the epicenter of the Sichuan earthquake. So finally, this testimony is to acknowledge the all glory to our God Almighty. What I have done is just merely follow His instruction in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, as a father. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Samuel Lim. I've no doubt all of us who heard him have been blessed by his testimony. Our concern as parents, Christian parents, must be like what has been demonstrated by Samuel. See how he has implemented what he learned from the Word of God as a father. And the message to all fathers here, fathers who have growing children, please note. The Lord has given you gifts of life in children. They are your responsibility. The church can only help and supplement, but the primary responsibility must be with the father and the mother to ensure that your children will walk in the ways of the Lord. Tonight we are talking of the Christian walk. What is it all about? Here it is, demonstrated in practical life, in most unfavorable circumstances. When you travel to a foreign country, you meet with all kinds of obstacles and difficulties. How wonderful to know. At the end of 8 years, he returns with a triumphant experience. My children have grown up in the Lord. That is something that money cannot buy. How he emphasizes on family prayers, morning and night. Does it ring a bell for some of us? To teach the children to personally speak with the Lord. How wonderful. This is part of Christian walk. How it can be done? I say, lead by example. So here he is. I was very impressed and touched when he says, we parents are available to you children 7 days a week, 365 days a year, always available. Beware of the computer. It's necessary, but it is not to be your master, but to be your servant. Don't let the computer control your lives, and you have to be compressed into the mold of the computer. That must never be. Welcome, dear friends. Selamat datang. So good to have you here. Friends of our members, Sharon and Peter Chung. You're in good health? Wonderful. Now we are talking about Christian walk. Is it different from any other walk? With walk, we mean the way of life, how you live every day. Is there a difference? And our friend who has been to China for 8 years, 8.5 years, has come back with this, I would say, a heart-moving testimony. And at the center of all the instruction is a book called the Bible. Oh, dear friends, here is the Word of God, the one only, totally inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path, to show us a way, how to live the Christian life. Here it is, all in this one book. And this is what Samuel and his wife, Christine, have used to lead their children. The Bible is not a showpiece. It's not part of your library that you just put there. But it is a book to be a lamp and a light to your path. To be read, do we? I challenge all of us here. To be read, how to live the Christian life. To be consulted, to be loved. Read lovingly, thanking God every day for what you read, that God has not left us without a testimony, without a guide. Here is a guidebook of life. How much do you know of this book? And so, after 8.5 years, to return to Singapore, we were so happy to see him, as we are to see one another. That should be the way of the Christian life. For we are one family. And so when Samuel came back, I rejoiced. And when he said the things that you've heard, I said, would you please give us your testimony? So much better, more effective than just direct preaching. Now let's turn to the Word of God as we think of the Christian life. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, just two verses. For the word conversation in verse 20 may suggest that we read citizenship. And so the verse becomes much more understandable and appreciated. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please bear in mind and remember always, our Lord Jesus died on the cross for us, rose from the dead for us, and he ascended back to heaven from whence he came with a promise, I will come again. So here we see him go. Our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. And therefore we must live different from the citizens of the world. There must be a difference. The places we go, the things we talk about, and think about the things that captivate us, there must be a difference. Is there? Examine yourselves. From whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your moment by moment expectation, dear friends? It makes a difference. Makes a very great difference from the people of the world. And I urge all of us here to remind yourself every day, I am a citizen of heaven, from where I look for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he went with the promise, I will return. And this is our greatest hope that must guide us. The way we live, the way we talk, the way we spend our time. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile or perishable body? Oh, what a body we have. So many people fall sick, including me, mainly because of age. And I go to a place I do not like to go, the hospital. And there you see a lot of fellow sufferers. Dear friends, there is an end to this suffering. There is an end to the need for hospitals and doctors. It is coming ahead of us, promised by God. He will change our vile, corruptible, sick-prone bodies, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body. Oh, dear friends, do you know what a body Jesus has? Free from any corruption. A body that cannot die anymore. This is what we'll get. And therefore we must live different from the world. Every day thinking of our Savior coming again from heaven, according to the power whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. These two verses must guide our living, the way we conduct ourselves, the Christian life. In the last century, the 20th, radical and great changes came over the world system. Did you know that? Two world wars changed the whole world in its direction. England fell from power, up came America. America saved England in First World War, Second World War, and then it rose to world dominance. The new world order has come into the world imperceptibly, without fanfare, but it has quietly come in, so that it affects the way we think, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves. All because there is a new world order without your waking up and say, wow, new world order. It is in place. It is directing and controlling the way we live. Do you know that? Oh yes, so we have, who is in charge of the new world order? I've mentioned one power, America. Today, there is one power only in the world that directs and orders all the nations what to do, what not to do. New world order. It also impinges on the way we live, how you live, how you conduct yourself, how you travel, how you study. All these things come in. And there is a second power that controls the way, that affects the way. Maybe not directly controlling today. Do you know the second power? Oh, yes. It is the Roman Catholic Church. The two powers. You say, well, I know the Roman Catholic Church is another church like ours. Ah, I say, that is where you are wrong. It is not another church like ours. It is a different organization altogether that has power beyond what you think. Power and wealth and a history that is recorded even in Revelation chapter 17. Read for yourself. Remember it. Where is it recorded? Revelation 17. And there it is described as the woman, the alternate church, the non-Christian church, which is called a self-name given by herself, Mother of all churches. These two control our lives. Do you know that? Very soon, all the churches in the world in the 20th century declared their allegiance to Rome. Do you know that? I've given out the little booklet called Synopsis of apostasy in the 20th century. It's all in there. Every Christian group has declared we are going back to Rome. What is all this about, dear friends? Do you understand? Here is the new world order coming in. And now it is in full control. You do not know. So here we have to face up. The social, political power in the church. The economic, military power in a country. Together they have the power over the whole of the world. And how we live, how we think, how we conduct our business, everything is controlled. We do not know. So I say, dear friends, how do we live our Christian life? By daily, constant prayer and supplication. Lord, help us. Help us to live our Christian life, to conduct ourselves. What to do and what not to do. Today it is still possible. The day will come when things may not be the same. So I say, dear friends, and daily, imperceptibly, you may not realize it, but when your children go to school, they are told one thing all the time: evolution. There is no God as such. Everything came by itself, by chance. I have given you the example that debunks this greatest lie of the devil, that everything is by chance. I said, dear friends, everything is not by chance, but everything is by order and design. Why does a rose always bloom at the right season and always comes out with a rose and gives you the smell of a rose? Why doesn't the rose change and give you some other scent? That is order, not chance. Oh, dear friends, and our children are subjected to this kind of brainwashing. The moment they go to school, until they grow up, no wonder they stop coming to church. No wonder they don't want to come to church. Why should I come? There's no God. So how do we think? What are the things we do in this new world order? Old-fashioned Christianity is on the way out. You and I have to thank God every day that we still have certain freedom. Freedom to read our Bibles, freedom to witness, freedom to talk and to preach and to worship together. These things may not be always available. I say, while we have it, treasure it. And while we have the freedom to serve the Lord on His day, to speak His things, His words, to read His words, and to do His work on His day, come. And do not just treat God as, in the morning I go have a courtesy call and that's enough. The house of the Lord, or the day of the Lord, is for the people of the Lord to come into the house and pay their respects and renew their allegiance. Here I am, Lord, here I am, waiting on you, thanking you. Do we do that? Do you treasure? I'm so happy that you are here on the Lord's Day evening and not anywhere else. But this is the way we live our Christian life. This is the way. As Brother Samuel says, In our house, there are no policemen? Of course not. Who are the policemen? Father and mother. And then to instill in the children a love for the Word of God, a love for the Lord Himself. What is the use of bringing children into the world and let them go free thinking and become evolutionists? So here we are. I say old-fashioned Christianity must be cultivated. You and I, thank God that we have it. Old-fashioned, yes. The new-fashioned ones is speaking in tongues, signs and wonders, prophecies and dreams and all kinds of things. And there is one woman preacher who claims she's on the air, reaching to 4.5 billion people every day, offering all kinds of social services to those in need. This is a counterfeit gospel. As here we have the Word of God, the true gospel. Let us love it. Let us go and share it. Every sign today tells us one thing. We are living in the last of the last days, and therefore we must be wise to this one thing. Are you? Do you know this? I want to read with you of something very topical, something that must touch your heart. Romans chapter 1. Please turn there, and you'll be shocked by the things we're going to read. Things that will affect the way you think, the way you plan your life. To know that we have a God that not only saves us and watches over us and tells us His reaction and His responses. What does he say here in verse 18? God is angry with the way the people on earth are behaving. Verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. People who today who snuff at God and insult Him by saying there is no God. You think God is keeping quiet? Oh yes. He takes note of everything. Please understand, He is the God of all knowledge, all power, and He knows everything that goes on. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For people to say these things happen because of evolution, you think God is very pleased? Oh no, my friends. The Word of God says that God is angry, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest and shown in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Look at yourself in the mirror, dear friends. Look at yourself. Why is it the hair distribution is the same for every one of us? Why is it the eyelash doesn't grow in the eye and you'll be intolerable even 1 second? Why? How come? By chance that the eyelashes only grow on the edge of the eye? Is that by chance? And you can multiply this 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. God has showed it to us. Everything is in order, by order. God has directed and ordered that these things ought to be so. So it is. So you have two eyes, but you see one thing. Do you know this? Two eyes see one image, one picture. You don't see double. Those who see double because of eye defects, because of disease, because of injury or accident, how sad they are to see double. But God has given us uniocular vision, one vision, two eyes, one vision. How come? By chance? Oh no, dear friends. The wisdom of God is immeasurable. So, verse 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We are made. Do you know that? Of course. And the evolutionist says, no. We just evolved from nothing. From where? From a primeval pool of muck and dirt. We came as what? Amoeba. An amoeba eventually became intelligent person like you and me. You came from amoeba. No, God says, no, I made you. I made you in my image that I breathe into you so that you become a living soul, so that you are God conscious. You're able to communicate. You're able to write and read. So those evolutionists refuse to accept this, and they say, my monkey is going to learn to type. So they teach the monkey day and night for one whole year. What did the monkey type? Rubbish. You put the monkey there and he goes tick, 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 on the typewriter. Out comes rubbish. Not even a monkey language. So dear friends, praise the Lord. God says, the invisible things I created, I never show you how I created. But God is the God of all wisdom. He makes monkey as a monkey, a donkey as a donkey, a cat is a cat. That's it. Everything is described to us in Genesis chapter 1. Do you know that? Oh, dear friends. And God says, I'm angry because these people say everything came by evolution. Not at all. Now read on. Verse 25. These people changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And because they refused to know God, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile, dirty, filthy affection. For even the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and also the men. Verse 27. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for other men, men and men. You see it today. It is debated in our parliament, a debate. Shall we legalize male and male marriages? Wow! Come, that there is such an idea. He explains here. Because they refuse to know God. They refuse to honor God. So God said, I write you off. You can now do what you like, the way you like, to live like animals, men and men, men molesting young children. All this happened. And very soon, men and animals also. Do you know that, oh dear friends? And God says, I rout you off because they burn in lust one with another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, shameful, unthinkable. But this they like to do. What to do? God says, I write you off. Since you don't like to know me, I write you off. So men do it. And you think God is pleased and God is doing nothing? Oh, dear friends, the judgment day is coming. and God will judge, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was mean. Verse 28 in conclusion, even as they did not like to know, retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now this is a hard word. What is a reprobate mind? Unable to discern between good and bad, right and wrong. They are now completely confused, mixed up. So men will go with men, and they say, oh, it is just like right-handed and left-handed. It is a personal preference. Why do we discriminate? Today, do you know the leading country fighting for gay rights for the whole world? Do you know what country? Can you guess it? Amazing. And they began their country in God we trust. Today they are promoting gayism. United States of America. Who does it? Obama, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, and all the rest of the administration. Promoting, and God says, since you do not like to know the truth, I hand you over to a reprobate mind. You now do not know the right from wrong, good from bad. And you just say everything is good. How can everything be good? So here it is. Verse 28. I read it once again. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Gave up. No more, since you spurn my instruction. Gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Oh, dear friends, younger the better. Years ago, the age of consent was 18. Then they said, no, we should not restrict 16. Then to 14. And Mrs. Hillary Clinton says, no good lah. Our children mature faster, make it 12. Now you get girls of 10 pregnant, do you know, in the papers, Straits Times. This is called fornication. Anyhow, any age, wickedness, all kinds of evil things are happening. All because what? They refuse to know God. And God writes them off. Amen. Think about all these and pray for godly discernment. Pray for wisdom to know the right from the wrong. To know what is our Christian responsibility. To know what we ought to do as responsible citizens of heaven. How we should live every day. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to understand thy will. To know that we have been created for a purpose in order to glorify and magnify the name of our Savior, and to tell others about Him and His great goodness to us, that we may live for Him and be His servants to tell forth the news that Jesus saves unto eternal life. This is our prayer. In the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.